T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Welcome to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Let the shenanigans begin.
Well, I remember my brother's first year officiating, not as a referee, but just his first year in the NFL. Anyway, I don't remember who was playing. I think the 49ers may have been involved. Whatever the case, all-out brawl takes place. Not quite bench clearing, but the guys on the field, they're thrown down. And the game had been tense and all this stuff. So much of the game of my parents. And these guys are going at it. It's one of those things where you kind of calm one group down, then these other two guys are going at it, right? You just can't get this
fight.
It's
like whack-a-mole.
It is, right? So, you know, the officials are doing their thing. And we realize, you know, these officials, these are older guys, but they are in the mix, man. You know what I mean? They're pulling guys apart. They're admonishing players. And we realize my brother's just standing off to the side. So I am just dying of laughter, right? Just like, come on, man. You got to get in. So the next time I see him, I'm like, hey, man, what about that fight? Like, part of your job, you know, you got to step in and get control of this. And I know it's big professional football players. He looked at me and he just said, hey, man, that's a lot of meat. He's like, I'm not trying to deal with
no
that at all.
No way.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not like breaking up a fight in a club between the bouncer and somebody else.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the equivalent of it. What's the damnedest thing that's happened to you? 206-421-ROCK.
Yeah, that's a tough one, man.
I mean, look, the referee needs to start it, right? Because they know. And then the umpire. And the, but he's like, I don't know. He's like the side judge. He's like, yeah, they're...
It generally, they're pretty good about not touching any of them.
It's not. He wasn't worried that a player would turn around, see him, and throttle him in the face. It's that when these guys start fighting, and when you see it all the time, the officials go and try to break it up. They just feel someone on their back, assume it's a guy from the other team, so they throw elbows back.
Right.
Or worse, I've seen like a lineman gets pushed over, and you know, got 340 pounds, lands on top of this 60-year-old man, and then the fights always stop. Once an official goes down, they're like, oh, sorry.
Except for hockey.
Not hockey, but hockey, they let you fight until you go to the ground.
You get to fight.
Right? Yeah.
What's up with this damnedest thing has happened to you? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Molly. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi, guys.
Hola.
How are you guys?
We're doing good, Molly. Thank you.
I'm a first-time caller.
Well,
we've been having a lot
show.
Of those lately. Thank you, Molly.
So, when I was 14 years old, I was paralyzed. My own immune system had attacked my spinal cord.
Your immune system doesn't know what it's doing.
That's got to be a great present for a 14-year-old.
Yeah, it was actually a few months after my birthday, too. So
How long does it take for you to notice symptoms that something's wrong to actually enter paralysis?
Well, it started about 6 o'clock in the morning, and I felt like I was being stabbed, like, right through the center of my whole entire body, up like mid-breast area. And then I went to school, and I think like 5 hours after that, I was not feeling good because I had an ear infection the night before. That's why my immune system was so hyped up. And then it took like a few more hours for my mom to come pick me up. And we came home, and we took a nap, and I woke up, and my legs were all tingly. So this is about, I don't know, 8 hours later, and by the time I got to Children's Hospital, it had moved from my toes all the way up to under my boobs, and it was like nothing but like pins and needles feelings, like over a 10-hour period of time.
And how long were you paralyzed?
I was paralyzed for 3 months, and
Jesus.
I stayed at Children's Hospital where they taught me how to walk again, and I'm still not fully back to normal.
How long has it been?
I'm 20 now, so it's been about while.
What is the tell that you're not back to normal? Like, if I saw you, could I know that you were paralyzed?
No, she clucks like a chicken tonight.
Do you have a limp or what?
I do have a very prominent limp in my left leg, and, you know, my hips are kind of a little screwed up now, and yeah, you can definitely tell that there's something wrong with me.
Okay, well, is there a chance?
You can tell there's something wrong with Miles,
right,
too.
Right, exactly, but I didn't do anything. What? So could this happen to you again?
It could happen to me again, and if it did, it would be considered MS.
So, okay. This is like pre-MS, essentially?
Not exactly. It's called transverse myelitis.
Okay, and what about with COVID? Do you have to be careful with this stuff? Obviously, everyone does, but you in particular. Is this a pre-existing condition that can trigger bad things? Because you said an ear infection triggered it, so.
It's caused me to have a very weak immune system.
Because it wastes all of its time attacking you. And is this something where you gradually get better, or are you as good as it's going to get, or do you know?
I think I'm as good as I'm going to get, and it goes in thirds. So one-third of people don't recover at all. The other third of people recover halfway or somewhat like me. And then there's the other third of people that fully recover.
Do you still have to go to physical therapy, Molly?
I quit that a while ago.
Okay. I don't want to try to shine a turd here, but typically that's what I do. So I just want to let you know I've been to a lot of the hospitals in the area. Actually, I've been to most of the hospitals in the area. The good news is that you are at a place that actually has the best cafeteria out of any of the hospitals. So if you have to be someplace and you have to eat on a day-to-day basis, Children's Hospital is where it's at.
Yeah, but she's 20 now.
She's 20. I know, but then when she was in there, it's a Cheesecake Factory of hospital food. It really is. They got everything. They got a hot bar. They got nuggets. They got pizza. They got hot dogs. They got corn dogs. They got an ice cream machine. They got spaghetti. They got meatloaf. It's a hell of a spread.
What kind of precautions do you have to take now?
Well, I can't feel hot and cold touch. So if I jump in a water or something, I got to make sure I feel the water first.
How are you going to feel it if you can't feel it?
Yeah, I mean, what do you do to test
it? I can feel it with my hands.
Okay so right. It's your how. So not with your feet, not with your legs. Like, at what point do you get sensation again?
It's like right under my boobs is where the feeling starts coming back.
That's crazy.
Not to get too personal, but if you've had sex, I mean, is that still something you can enjoy, or is it something you don't feel at all?
Oh, no, it's something that I very much enjoy. Pretty hyping.
I can't feel anything, but I will have sex.
I found my purpose.
Right. It's all good.
My special purpose.
I don't need physical therapy anymore.
Well, Molly, I wish you the best. I'm glad that worked out.
Awesome. Thank you guys for listening.
Yep. Yeah, thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Connect with the guys. Find The Men's Room at facebook.com/The Men's Room. Now, back to The Men's Room on The Men's Room Radio Network.
Yes, friends, it's time once again for Sit and Spin. Let's gather around the old radio and listen to some swellerific new music.
Oh, look who it is. Flycast on the house. Live from his home basement dungeon type studio. How you been, man?
I'm good. I just got off of another call where I went out and paced around in my backyard. That was nice.
Oh yeah. Making everybody dizzy.
Yeah, okay. I was talking to some people on the East Coast who were in a hurricane, and I was like, well, I can't leave and go anywhere, but it's 75 and sunny here.
Sure, so let you see that for a change, a little role reversal.
Just blew over my house and knocked over my barbecue. I'm like, oh, the tragedy.
How did your whirlwind weekend go with the better half on her birthday?
Oh, you know, it was just crazy.
Was it crazy? Yeah. Did you get her anything?
She likes to do so much stuff.
Yeah.
And there's so many options right now. So we just did all the things.
Wow. That sounds like a great time.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah. I mean, there was takeout involved.
I just imagine you check so many things off the bucket list.
Oh, boy. And what a list it is.
Right.
Let me tell you.
Well, I guess it's unofficially official. We've got the word that basically 2020 has been completely shut down. So we're not assuming any concerts are coming our way or anything like this. But we can go back and kind of dream a little bit and talk concerts
today. The only thing we can't cancel in 2020 is the year 2020.
Wouldn't it be nice to hit the reset button?
Right, like, you know, let's just start over.
Yeah, because we know you had Zeppelin lined up for Red Festival for us this year, which would have been a huge deal.
It was
going to
be big. It was going to be big. And actually, John Bonham was going to play the drums, too.
Pain in the Grass. Weekend
at Bernie's style.
That was going to be a surprise to everybody, including John Bonham.
Right. Pain in the Grass was Guns N' Roses, Alice in Chains, and Tool. That's a sad thing. Yep. We can't do that this year.
Yeah. Yep. And the new originals.
Sure.
And the new originals.
They were nice.
They were going to close it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. They were headliners.
Exactly. Nobody wants to follow that show.
Gunners were going to open because they didn't want to be embarrassed. That's how that went down. But today you brought
did
a
you
list.
Did you enjoy that last band?
Yeah. No.
Yeah. And we've all been to this place. You go see your favorite band and they kill it. You know what I mean? It's an amazing show, or maybe it's just an okay show. But you go see the band, and the one song that you want to hear is the song typically, for whatever reason, that night they do not play.
Right, because if you love the band, it's probably not one of the singles.
Right, and that's where the disconnect is. So you've got, if you're a big, big fan of the band, you're going to like something off of the album that maybe was never a single and you don't hear all the time. But a lot of people, when they go, like if you go see Guns N' Roses, for example, you're going to be really disappointed if they don't play Sweet Child of Mine. Mm-hmm. You know, you may not necessarily be there for Night Train.
But don't worry, they're going to play Sweet Child of Mine.
So, but you've been to those shows where, I mean, I've seen Pearl Jam where they didn't do like a live, and that was fine with me. But, you know, some people were there like, how are you not going to do a live, bro?
Right.
Well, I would have been one of those people.
They've got 55 other songs that they can play, and you know all those.
Right.
Two. So, but today, what we have is the bands themselves and the song that they tend to play the most live. So when they do have a concert, this is a guarantee. I mean, like, Neil Diamond's not going to go out and not play Sweet Caroline.
He can't. He'd be murdered.
He would be. So these bands play these songs, or this particular song, more than any other song in their catalog.
Okay. All right.
You take these bands and you take their set list of every show they ever played. This is the number one song that they always play.
Okay, so what is the first band we're dealing with here?
So these are going to go in alphabetical order, and we're starting at L for Linkin Park at number 10.
Linkin Park. Who do we think Linkin Park is? Linkin Park, Crawling, maybe?
Yeah.
You're going to want to assume it's something older, right? It's going to be something off that first album.
Okay. So the band is Linkin Park.
I mean, guesses? Crawling is what I was going to say, but that wasn't like the first hit off that album, was it? This is tougher than I thought.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
10. Number 10. I tried so hard.
Sorry, Miles, we got second place.
Yeah. That's
so
a song about...
One Step Closer was the first big song off of the album. That was the breakthrough song for Linkin Park. But the big, big, big hit off of that album, which came a little bit later, was In the End.
Right.
And they played it at every
Castle,
show.
Have you thought about playing this on our station? I think people would like it.
Linkin Park?
Yeah.
No, people don't like that.
That's a song about no-go relations. A lot of people thought it was about other things. But okay, so who is our next band? We'll see if we can guess their most popular song.
The next band is one of Thrill's favorite bands of all times, Kiss.
Kiss.
Rock and Roll All Night.
It's got to be Rock and Roll All Night.
Zero doubt. I mean, it's a safe bet.
Okay, all right, here we go.
Number 9.
Yeah.
Yep.
Look, I actually hate this song. I really do. I hate this song. But the good news about it is, if you go to a Kiss concert, you don't have to stay for it because it's the last song they
always
play. They're never going to play it before the final frickin' song of the night. And that's when I know it's time to go.
I don't think they've ever not played this song since they released it.
Hey, everybody. I'll ride Seattle ever. We didn't forget about you in Concrete.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know that's true.
Uh-huh. Anybody from Mount Vernon in the house tonight?
All right, who's our
how about all those crazy people from Granite Falls?
Who's our next band?
You know, they're the ones that are on methamphetamines.
Yeah. Woo.
All right. Next up, speaking of meth, is Kid Rock.
Kid Rock.
Oh, bow to bow.
Yeah, bow to bow to bang bang a biggie biggie bang a bang bang.
Gotta be.
8. Number 8.
You know, I've heard Ted sing the song with, again, the headliner New Originals.
I think Ted had pneumonia that day.
Yeah, that was the problem.
Wait,
I practiced
you didn't
it.
No. Sing it?
No, I had pneumonia. Somebody else sang it and butchered it.
Oh, yeah, they butchered it.
Yeah, that was like, that was the worst new original show ever. We didn't play for like 2 years after that.
Oh, I remember
like,
that show.
I had to take a hiatus. This you guys got in a big fight. I remember that.
Castle, I'm glad you remember that.
Sold out Showbox Soto.
I just remember doing the practice, and Ted, because you'd scream, my name is Ted Smith.
Yeah, and then literally I got pneumonia the week of that show.
My name is Ted Smith.
Yeah. Dude couldn't get three words out without going, oh,
okay, these are 10 songs that rock bands play live the most.
On, I should probably tell you the number of times these bands played these songs, too. So Linkin Park, 747 times on In the End. Kiss, Rock and Roll All Night. You ready for this? 2,213 times. And then 372 for Ba Wada Ba.
Okay, who's our next band?
The next band is Guns N' Roses, who we all saw just the other night at T-Mobile Park.
Wow. Yeah, oh, yeah, what a great show.
Unbelievable. They opened up for, the new originals. What?
I'm going to guess Welcome to the Jungle. I mean, it's just too...
I'm going Sweet Child of Mine. Yep.
Gotta be Welcome to the Jungle.
Seven, come on, seven. Jungle. Yeah! They even add the monkey sound effects live.
Isn't it strange, Ryan Castle, that this edgy rock and roll band from L.A., they take a weekend to come up to Seattle and they write Welcome to the Jungle because they thought Seattle was such an asshole? can you believe that?
They wrote Paradise City on their way home from Seattle.
Oh, I see. How many times did they end up playing that?
921 times.
921.
I could listen to it that many times in a row.
Okay.
Yeah, any college football game you go to, you hear that in the tailgate thousands of times.
And at kickoffs.
What's up next?
Next is Green Day.
Green Day.
Oh, Dookie.
Dookie is an album.
Yeah. It's
damn like, it.
Sing the chorus. What,
you know
what song
is that? I'm going to go Time of Your Life.
Oh, that's strong.
Just because it's a popular song.
That band had been around for almost a decade by the time Time of Your Life came out.
All right. 10 songs a rock bands play live the most. Green Day.
Six. Number six.
Yeah, so Mommy, surprisingly, is the number one song. I would have thought it would be Basket Case, which was their first big hit. 926 times they played Longview.
That is about masturbation, right? Bite my lip and close my eyes.
It is for me.
Way to paradise? Okay, just making sure.
Do you bite your lip and close your eyes?
What's our next band?
Foo Fighters.
Ooh. Everlong?
I'm guessing Everlong.
Everybody Everlong? Everlong?
Five. Number five.
Gotta play Everlong. That's 1,044 times, by the way.
1,044.
But I, honest to God, I feel like Foo Fighters is one of those bands, in my opinion. They're so good that if they did not play this song, if you've never been to Foo Fighters, you've never seen high energy like Dave Grohl, right? Mm-hmm. If they didn't play the song, I wouldn't care.
Also, they're one of the few bands on this list so far that has like two or three versions of that song. Sometimes it does an acoustic thing and all.
But
that.
Also, it's Foo Fighters. So just the show is just hit after hit after hit.
It really is.
You're going
to
know every single song. It's not going to matter. It's not going to be like, I don't even know what this is, unless they do like a Jerry Rafferty cover that you've never heard before.
Well, people know Baker Street, buddy. 10 songs that rock bands play live the most. Who is the next band, Ryan?
Def Leppard.
Ooh, my gleaming Rock of Ages.
All right, no, wait. It's possible that it should be from Pyro. Oh,
it's Photograph.
Headed for it, not with the Heartbreak song.
Oh, no. That's my Photograph guess. Based
heartbreak.
On age.
Heartbreak.
Ted?
I.
You want some sugar on you?
Pour some sugar on
you
me.
You take the sugar?
That's true.
I'll take the sugar.
I'm going to take the Photograph. You take the sugar.
I'm taking the Heartbreak.
All right, here we go. Had it.
Steve Rowland.
Ooba gleba globa globin.
Again, you got to remember, before Some Sugar on Me, when Hysteria came out, that band had been around for 10 years-ish at that point.
How many times does...
I always forget.
How many times
does... Rock of Ages, ready for this? 1,949 times.
How many times have they played it with a two-armed drummer? Because he had two arms.
949 times.
Right? Yes, exactly.
He had two arms when they recorded it.
These are the bands, the rock bands that play the live song the most. We've made it to number three. Who's our next artist there?
Alice Cooper.
Alice Cooper, School's Out.
Either No More Mr. Nice Guy, 18, or...
I'm saying No More Mr. Nice Guy.
Ted,
no More
Mr. Nice Guy. Only Women Bleed, or are you going to go... No?
That's the name of a song. Okay. Right. He's not setting you up.
I'm nervous.
Three.
All right.
Four. Summer.
I can't. School might be out forever.
Completely.
This song's really dated.
Well, this is like, what, 1974, 75? So how many times is this in the thousands?
Yeah, consider how long Alice Cooper has been playing this song and the fact that I don't know that there was ever a hiatus in Alice Cooper's career. Dude has just been on tour forever. So not only is this his number one song, this is the number one song on the list at 2,784 times.
Jesus. 10 songs that rock bands play live the most. Who's the next?
Next is also an Alice in Chains.
It's got to be Man in the Box. Or is it Rooster?
Man in the Box, older.
Right. Facelift came out first. I'm going to go Man in the Box.
I'm Man in the Box.
Yeah.
Man in the Box.
Count me in.
Number two.
Rooster's got to be number two.
You would think.
So 793 times here, and if you come see the new originals play it, Steve the Thrill Hill plays half the drum set.
Yes.
His entire body.
Unbelievable.
It happened once. We supposed to be. By the way, Cass, I'll show my kids that video over the weekend of me crashing through the drum set by accident. They thought that was the funniest goddamn thing they'd seen.
Because it was. Yeah.
It really
was. It was great. And, you know, had we stopped the song, it would have been a tragedy. But the fact that we managed to peel you out of there and finish the song, it was the highlight of the entire night.
I know.
So today, these are 10 songs the rock bands play live the most. We've made it to number one. Who's our number one artist?
AC/DC. That's a tough one.
It's got to be You Shook Me.
Maybe, yeah, but man, but keep in mind,
You Shook Me is 1980. I mean, that band had been playing shows forever.
So you got a whole lot of world. You got all the stuff that Bon Scott sang.
Dirty Deeds. Yes.
Dirty Deeds,
you go
maybe.
Way back.
I don't know. Ted? Hell's Bells?
Whole lot of Rosie?
You know what?
I'm going to say a whole
Hell's
lot of Rosie.
Hell's Bells? All right. I'm still going with You Shook Me.
Hell's Bells on the same album.
One, number one. She's got the jack.
Get out of here.
I would not have guessed this in
a million years. She worked for a tow truck company.
Yeah, AAA.
Exactly. She's in Australia.
She's just a bartender, guys.
Or she shows up at 2 a.m. In a clutch move with a bunch of jumbo jacks.
Or Jack is a nickname for some kind of venereal disease.
Ryan Castle, thank you so much. We appreciate it. There you go on Sit and Spin.
Can't get enough of the Men's Room? Listen to the Men's Room Daily Podcast on the radio.com app.
Who crashed into what? 206-421-ROCK.
Well, you're doing it enough justice. But also, like, it's literally the last day we're going to work before the Christmas break.
Oh, that's right.
Miles is like, I'm buying us pizza, like any pizza we want in the city. So we talk about it and talk about it.
Finally pick it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You could still hear the disappointment in my voice. That and the pizza I got on January 1st. God, it sucked.
What happened? What happened?
Just made a bad call.
Well, you ordered the wrong pizza.
Correct.
All right. So it wasn't their fault.
It's one of those places that if you pop in after a few drinks and stuff, you get the pizza there. It's fine. But I had never gotten it delivered to my home, and it just wasn't that good.
Okay.
That's 2020 in a nutshell.
Yeah, started out.
You should have known.
Who messes up pizza? Who crashed into what? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Randy. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
Hola. So I'll make this short. But I'll drink a beer in front of another beer and not feel bad. You know,
that's a good idea.
Oh, Schmitz.
Anyways, here's my story. I take this girl on this first date up to Montana. We're going to go up to Great Falls, up to up there. And I was driving a Bradley GT. So we get up there. We get to my friend's house. He's like, well, we'll take my mom's car. It's got more room. And there's a moose standing in the road. And I'm like, oh, man. And it's kind of like eating off the side. And then he honks his horn. It looks back at us. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that worked. And he goes, well, watch this. This will work. And he goes up. And he pulls his mom's car up to it and kind of hits it in the hind end. And the thing cow-kicked the car and broke the radiator, the grill, and everything else. And he had to call a tow truck to come get his mom's car. And his mom is not the friendliest person in the world. I mean, we got kicked out of like 6 taverns in one night. One guy told us, he says, you got to get her out of here. This lady is chasing him with her cane. Tell him I told you ice in my drink. You know, I mean, it was quite the experience, but I never ran anything, but my Blackfoot buddy did.
Damn. Like the moose is like, F you. Bam.
Oh, man. Montana. You said you had a good time, Montana, Ted.
But it's wild.
Okay.
I mean, literally, we were in a golf tournament, and you were kind of required to do a shot before the tournament started. And it was decently early, like 10
a.m. No problem with that.
And first time I've ever heard of. So a shotgun start simply means you start on different holes. You all start at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
They fired a shotgun.
Oh, Jesus.
I was like, come on. Like, too far. And then, yeah, that night we went down. They had Main Street closed. People were doing burnouts and $2 beers.
Jesus.
Wow.
Good times. Who crashed into what? 206-421 Rock.
That's it. We were like, we're going to get tequila. They go, all right, what kind do you want? What kind do you got? We have Tarantula and Jose Cuervo.
Oh, Jesus, God.
Like, is that Tarantula chilled? Send it.
Hello, Kay. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, first time or long time listener, first time caller. Hola.
Hola.
We appreciate it, man.
So I love your guys' show. I listen to it almost every day, and your podcast is just perfect. I mean, you guys have nailed it.
Oh, really, thank you, man. Stuff. Appreciate it. We didn't know anyone was listening to that damn thing. They don't tell us anything.
No, it really is an amazing podcast. I work long, late hours, and so I'll just, like, binge listen to all of your stuff.
Oh,
so
cool,
funny,
brother.
So funny. So I go into a dispensary. This is probably, like, 4 years ago to go buy some stuff, buy some cannabis products. Go and buy it. I may or may not have been on Adderall at the time. I honestly can't remember, but I was pretty out.
Then yes, you were.
Pretty well flying.
Exactly right. Exactly. So I'm pretty amped up. I'm like, oh, I just want to get home. I want to smoke, you know? And so I go back into my car. So let me backtrack. I park my car, get out. There's no one behind my car. Okay. I go in, buy my stuff. Then I go back to my car, get in the car, you know, look up in my rear view. I'm like, nothing's behind me. Start the car, you know, start going, and I slam into this car that's right behind me. I mean, just blocked me in. And I'm like, when did this happen? Like, what is going on right now? I didn't even see this car, you know, and I get out and I'm just like flipping out, like, what the hell? What is going on right now? And the manager of the store came out, the owner of the store came out, and the owner of the car came out, and they were just like, oh, man, this sucks, you know? And I was like, yeah, who parks behind me, you know? And, I mean, I think I was a little bit at fault, obviously, but at the same time, I mean, like, who blocks someone in? You know, I mean, the parking was kind of, like, not really available, but so I can understand someone doing that. But, yeah, no, that's pretty much my story.
Did you have to pay for everything? You didn't call the cops. You just exchanged information. Your insurance took care of it?
No, honestly, nothing came of it. No one did anything. The owner almost like took fault himself, which was crazy.
Okay.
Yeah, I meant to note that. I didn't pay for anything, and yeah, no, I mean, it was awesome. I just got my car and I was just kind of PO'd and just kind of drove off. I'm like, man, who does that? You know, but no, it was a decent experience, you know?
Yeah, I mean, normally if it's not too bad, you can just go out, look out, go, no harm, no foul. Here's my number just in case, but whatever.
You say that. We're in a parking garage, Baltimore, I believe, leaving a Ravens game.
Mm.
And we may or may not have been smoking in your car. And what was it, like a BMW? So you just barely dinged it. I mean, again, it's a parking garage. So there's only so fast you can go. But Miles hits this thing. We look at each other. It's like, just go, dude, just go. So we go to, like, turn the corner. You know, parking garages are, right? So we're kind of turning, and, like, the dude comes running up. And wasn't there a cop already there or something?
Oh, yeah. And you had the bowl in your hand. It's like, put the bowl down. You're so high. You're just holding it up.
Security
like,
or, like, a real cop?
It was a cop.
Yeah, it was a cop.
Like, it was an actual freaking cop. So, yeah, you had exchanged your information. We're like, well, how bad can it be,
yeah,
man?
Exactly. And the whole car is just, it's just completely hotboxed.
Right.
I'm just like, we are going to jail.
I thought we were going to jail, for sure.
Like, this is not good.
Yeah.
Who crashed into what? 206-421 Rock.
Hello.
Was it after a Ravens game?
I believe it was. I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
I had also taken the top off of another car in that same parking garage earlier.
That's when you were driving, though, right?
Do you guys remember that?
I wasn't in the car that time. That was Ted.
I took the tire.
That was out here, though.
No, that was that here?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because Ted, as I understand it, Ted is like, I said you can't make it.
I did not. His wife said that.
Oh, that's worse.
What was really
I got worse, this.
What was really worse was, you know me, I go, don't worry, I know a guy. Oh. So then the next Monday, Miles was like, so who's the guy? Like, I don't know. It just seemed like the right thing to say. He was pissed.
Right, to save face for you, man.
Reach out to the guys on Twitter at Men's Room Live. Now, back to the Men's Room on the Men's Room Radio Network.
Game is up, Big Dummy, 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Jeremiah. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Big Dummy!
Boo! Jeremiah, are you sober or not sober?
Well, I'm woke up right now. Happy sober for, like, the next 10 seconds.
Okay. Sober for 10 seconds, Jeremiah. All right, Jeremiah, what are you going to give up for life? Whiskey, vodka, rum, or tequila?
Well, I am 3 months sober, but...
Well, say you're going to start drinking again. Which one would you not bring back?
Mm-hmm.
Vodka.
Vodka?
Oh, wow.
What was the inspiration, Jeremiah?
Well, you know, when I was at my deepest, I could come home and literally chug an entire bottle.
Of
vodka before, actually starting to drink. So, yeah.
Did you just go cold turkey, man? Just decide one day to wake up and not drink anymore?
I tried that, but Vivitrol really helped.
So what, you got on a prescription medication?
Yeah.
And what did it do? Make you not get drunk or make you not want to drink? Or, like, what was the effect of it?
Makes you puke if you drink,
well,
right?
It's actually both. It works for both alcohol and opioids, and it blocks the it basically blocks the endorphin rush you get from drinking.
So you can't get a buzz, but it doesn't make you...
Correct.
Okay, so you could have a beer, not going to get a buzz.
Exactly. I could drink, I could give myself alcohol poisoning.
Right.
And not feel anything.
Okay.
What's the one that makes you get sick? Because I knew somebody that said they tried that, but they just puked through it.
Oh, just more tequila.
Yeah. No, but seriously, there is a prescription.
I've heard, something just makes you gag or puke it up or whatever it is.
Do you ever see yourself drinking again, Jeremiah?
What was that?
Are you still on this drug, by the way?
Yes.
And do you see yourself maybe drinking any time down the line, or are you done?
Oh, God, no. No, 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 no. No, 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 no.
This is permanent. Okay. All right. Very
what
good,
was,
man.
I'm taking the tract of life and just sticking with the green.
Okay.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
What? Which alcohol do you miss the most?
Oh, probably a good scotch.
Ooh, okay. All right.
By the way, they call that California sober.
No, oh, is that what it is?
What, would you just smoke weed?
Yeah.
California sober?
Yeah, for real.
Okay.
All right, here's your question. What is the closest galaxy to our own Milky Way?
God, you know, I so wanted to get high while I was doing this, but it's Andromeda.
You got it.
There you go.
Okay. Game is up. Big Dummy, 206-421-RIDE.
Big Dummy!
Hello, Josh. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Waza!
Josh, you sober or not sober?
Sober.
All right, Josh, welcome to the show. Josh, what are you going to give up for life? Will it be whiskey, vodka, rum, or tequila?
As of last weekend, vodka.
Ooh. People are getting rid of
all
vodka.
Right.
That's because people have been having a very good time with vodka. Vodka, apparently, it's like that friend you had in your 20s where, oh, dude, we used to get into trouble all the time, right? Loved hanging out. Then you turn 30 and you're like, so we kind of had to cut ties.
Yeah. Seems that way.
Always a good time, always a bad morning.
Terrible
All right.
Time.
Your question, what did the letters USSR stand for?
United. No. I know it's Russia.
Yeah.
Soviet. Not going to happen.
United Soviet States?
Union. Union Soviet Socialist Republic?
Correct. Union of Soviet Socialist Republic.
Okay.
By the way...
What does CCCP mean?
It's for an intercontinental ballistic missile. I just don't know how you say it in Russian.
Yeah. Is that what it really is?
I believe so. That's why on the side of those missiles you'll see CCCP.
Well, that they wore it on their jerseys, too.
I think that's the
then
Russian,
I'm dead wrong.
Russian it translation just, of USSR, maybe?
Right. It's like when you see a national team jersey from Germany, sometimes they say Deutschland.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like, because Deutschland. Why do we call it Germany if Germans call it Deutschland? I am from Deutschland. Yeah, we're going to call it Germany.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like Japan, right?
Right.
What's it, Nepal?
I am from Nepal. Yeah, we're going to call it Japan.
Yeah, you know what?
That's a great name. We'd call it something else.
Nip on, nip off.
That nipper. Jack the Nipper. He was a much different person.
Yeah, he went around giving people twisties.
Yeah.
Ow!
All right, your question. In what city is the CN Tower?
Let's go New York.
Toronto.
Toronto.
The capital. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
All right, your question. Yukon Cornelius was whose friend?
What?
A guy by the name of Yukon Cornelius. Who was his very famous friend?
Gandhi.
Very close to Gandhi. It's the other massive historical figure, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Well, what about the elf? Wasn't he friends with him, too?
Yeah, but so was Yukon Cornelius. I'm asking about Yukon Cornelius.
No, I'm saying, couldn't you say the elf was the answer to that question?
I would have accepted that. Can you remember the elf's name?
Hermie?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They call me Hermie because I'm...
I want to be a dentist one day. All right. Your question. Pyrophobia is the fear of what?
Pyrophobia?
Yeah.
Fire.
Question five, Josh.
Man.
All right, question number five for you. There are Beliebers, there are Swifties. Who are Claymates a fan of?
Old school.
Claymates. He said this is old school.
No, that's not really old school.
Well, I'm just saying it's not like it's not compared, as up to date as right. A Belieber or a Swiftie.
Yes, it's pre-Belieber, pre-Swiftie.
Claymates,
yeah.
Clay. Clay Thompson. I know, obviously, it's the wrong answer, but
Clay Aiken.
Yes. No clue.
Beliebers, Swifties, and Claymates. Oh, my.
Claymate. You going to invite your Claymate over?
No, the Claymate of the Year. All right, Josh, one more question before we go to break. What is the traditional herb to make pesto?
Basil.
All right.
There you go.
Very good. More well Big Dummy coming up. 206-421-ROCK.
Want more of the Men's Room? Download the new podcast from Miles and Thrill, The Greatest Story Never Told. Available on radio.com.
Who did you see in the birthday suit? Was it good or bad? 206-421-ROCK.
So you don't say anything.
That was great.
No.
No.
I was not. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Hello, Charlie. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, man. So I work in the medical field, and at this particular time, I was working in an emergency room, and this old man comes in. I'm not exactly sure how old he was, but he was super old, just fragile old man. He came in because he had taken, I think, a couple Viagra, and his heart was, like, you know, just beating all over the place.
Right.
So we had these curtains to give the patients some privacy while we're out, you know, in the pods just working or doing whatever. So the nurse comes up to me, and she's like, hey, I need you to go put a Foley catheter in this guy to help him pee. So I'm like, all right, sweetie, I can go, you know, I'll go do that right now. And I had a student with me because it was a learning hospital, so we had these students shadow us so that they could see what we do, like, in everyday life while we work.
And that way they can reconsider their job options.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Like, they can see if this is actually what they want to do. So I peel back the curtain, and this old man, this fragile old man, is just standing there. He had stripped off everything and was watching TV, hands on his hips, just in all his glory, just proud. You know what I mean?
Because it's working now. You know what I mean? Like, you took it for a reason, I guess.
Well, that's the thing. It didn't work.
Oh.
So he didn't have an erection. He's just having heart palpitations.
Exactly. He didn't have an erection, man. But what it freaked me out because I'm a big dude. I'm well over 200 pounds and well over 6 foot. But this thing looked like a traffic cone. I didn't want to touch it.
This guy's doing all right for himself.
Like, I don't care who you are. You had to respect this dude.
I'm sure a lot of people had in his lifetime.
It was ridiculous. I'd never seen anything like that.
Now, when you have to put a catheter in him, is he awake through this procedure?
Yeah, usually. Usually you just lube the catheter up and you just insert it. But it was so bad to the point where I came back out to the nurse and I was like, I'm not touching that.
Are you serious? Like, that gets too much.
I'm not touching that thing?
I was like, there's no way I'm touching that thing. I was like, you need to go in there and help that man because that's ridiculous.
What did the teacher assistant say?
She was speechless herself.
Yeah,
she was speechless herself. And I was like, dude, I just can't do it.
Let me ask you, clinically, if you're carrying around a hog like that, if you have to insert a catheter, does that make it more difficult?
No, not really.
All right.
You kind of push it all the way back.
Did she?
Usually there's more than enough tubing.
Did she share the same thoughts that you did?
Like, was she glad that you said, hell no?
Honestly, so we never talked about it. We just kind of left it where it was. And because she's a student and I was like, she was shadowing me, usually I would have her do everything. You know what I mean? Like, she was putting in all the IVs or she was, I don't know, changing bedpans or whatever. It was a her.
Mm-hmm.
So she was going to put there. But something like a Foley catheter, which is more invasive, I would have had to do it.
Okay. So if it had not been as invasive as it were, would you have had her handle that guy's hog? Like, hey, you do it.
There is no doubt. I was not.
Yeah. Look, man, when I was out of it, I woke up from my surgery. I just stood up. And you know, you don't realize it when you're in the recovery area, but you are. There's just partitions on each side.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's open at your feet. So after I have my surgery on my backside, I really don't have anything on down there. But I know for a fact that whatever time I was knocked out in the morning, 7 o'clock or something, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon now, and I've got to go to the bathroom.
Oh, right, right.
So I kind of like, I stand up, and I'm kind of out of it, you know what I mean? And I kind of like walk toward the foot of the bed, and I realize, like, I am in a hallway with like 13, 14 people. And the nurse turns around, and she goes, hey, whoa. And I'm like, I got to go to the bathroom. So she comes over, and she's got this big Tupperware thing, right, with kind of like a hook top on it. I filled up two of those.
Yeah, those things.
Yeah, exactly. But I just did it right there in the hallway. I mean, I just, for whatever reason,
you're just peeing in front of like 12
feet. It seemed perfectly normal to do at the time because I was so.
And you're still on drugs.
I'm so looped up. You know what I mean?
Man, the hospital's a sketchy place because if your timing is unfortunate enough, as you walk by a room, the door's opening, either someone's mm-hmm. going in or coming out. And depending what's going on in that room, you see things that, I mean, I've seen people pooping in the bedpan, all that. And it's forgivable. I understand. But as my kids are being born, you're surrounded by nothing but other women that are also giving birth, right? I mean, that's what that entire part. So when you're like, hey, could you get me water or whatever, the vending machine, but walked around this hall, and the way they have the hallway set up, basically it's kind of a giant loop, and the nurse's stand is like in the dead center of it. So I'm walking to where I know the vending machine is, and I had seen this woman earlier, you know, she's 9 months, she's ready to do her thing. So anyway, the door opens to her room, and you can hear her yelling, and I don't care who you are, you kind of peek in the room. So I just kind of glanced in, and but the angle that the bed is at, neither the nurse nor doctor is directly between her legs delivering the baby. So she's screaming about it, but the kid is not like breached yet or whatever the proper term is. But I just remember like her legs are spread, her belly's huge, the thing's pushed up. And just for the 2 seconds that I walk by this door, I glance in and I remember thinking, it looked like, you know, like if you watch like a horror movie and someone goes into a fun house and there's that big clown mouth around there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I just remember, and it was just this brief moment, but I saw it. And it's just like, oh my God.
Is it like putt-putt when you hit it in on the 18th?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what it reminded me of. And I'm like, okay. I understand the situation, man. I know, but things change during the birth process.
Sure.
Like I saw things that I never thought I'd see before. And the things that will freak you out if you're a dude, it's not what you think it will be. Everything they say that might make it, it's like, trust me, it has nothing to do with that.
When you go to birthing classes,
that's
terrifying. When you go to birthing classes, Ted, they show you a video, right, of what to expect.
Trust Ted. They can't even get that image out of my head.
Yeah, they had, Ted, just know this. There has not been a birthing video made since 1978.
Apparently there has not been.
I will swear on that. They have not updated it. It's the same one. It's the standard one. It's a different era then.
I had to sit through Lamaze's class. It was five different parts, but the last day they showed us the film. And you're not kidding, man. I mean, this thing starts, even though they put it on a VCR, it's almost you can still hear.
When two people love each other.
But they showed this woman, and it was, they covered all 9 months, you know, and so she's talking.
All 9 months.
We just found out, you know, and they edit in, and they get to the end, and, you know, I'm sitting in this class, and I just didn't think, and it's stupid of me, it is a Lamaze class. I didn't think that they would show you this woman's everything at the end, so they actually show her giving. Oh, yeah, I mean, it's like front and center. And I just remember she was a redhead.
I'll tell you what it's like.
No, but listen, she's a redhead. And so when I'm watching this movie, this is the first time I've actually seen a birth. It's not like a movie birth. This is, you know,
they're showing the birth.
But, and it's stupid, but like, it was this redheaded woman, and they, you know, they're showing her everything. And when this kid popped out, to me, it looked like Fozzie Bear threw up. It was just
what it looks like, Mike.
It was, but I wasn't the only one, because every dude in that class, we all did quick. I was like, oh God!
It looked like when Sean Spicer popped out of the bushes at the White House.
It was,
he disappeared. Like, oh right. My God, who's in there?
Connect with the Men's Room on Instagram at Men's Room Live.
All right, Mike, if we made it to Drink It Time.
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the Men's Room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve at Throwhill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. And today we toast NASA astronauts Doug Hurley and Bob Behnken. Now, they made history as part of the crew of the first commercially built and operated U.S. spacecraft to ferry American astronauts between planet Earth and the International Space Station. Now, 2 days ago, they completed their mission when they returned to Earth with a successful splashdown.
They splashed down, that's right.
That is correct. And it's been years since they did a splashdown, mm-hmm. because with the shuttle program, you know, you're
a little bit different. Right.
Anyway, but the splashdown was in
the Atlantic? Near
Gulf of Mexico.
Canaveral?
Okay. Gulf of Mexico. Right. And I admit, look, I'm a space nerd. I love this kind of thing. But that is not at all why we're toasting them. Yes, they made history. Yes, it was successful, but that's not why I'm toasting them at all. I'm toasting them because Doug and Bob, they proved that no matter their profession, boys will be boys. You see, after the splashdown, they actually had to wait 5 hours before they got picked up. You splash down, you're successful, but now you just wait out there in the Gulf. So to kill time, they pulled out their satellite phone, and they made prank phone calls. Now,
did they really?
Yeah.
I thought they were going to have like a pocket fisherman or something.
Now, here's the thing. They would not divulge the nature of those calls, which leads me to believe that they were just the most heinous, because with a satellite phone, it's a little harder to track,
mm-hmm.
who may or may not have called. But yeah, so for 5 hours, they made prank calls. But here's the real thing that I like. They made sure that the charges went to the owner of SpaceX, Mr. Elon Musk.
He can afford it.
I mean, he can definitely afford it. But think about it. These guys made history. You did all this training to be an astronaut, well-respected. They got 5 hours to go, like,
hey, man,
you
want to
call someone
phone
and say boobies? I mean, like, that's it.
Send out some D-pics.
Yeah. Yeah. So we toast them today. Welcome back, boys. We pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bitch hola.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Want more of the Men's Room? The greatest story never told with Miles and Thrill. Also available on radio.com.
Aw, man.
A Double Flush production.
T-Mobile
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.